If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
What is going on? It is Nightcrawler 724 coming at you. NPC episode, what are we, 405?
405. Coming at you. Yep. We got with the Nintendo PC. PowerCast. What's going on, Cheese Curds?
I said that. Didn't I say that? Nintendo PowerCast episode 405. I said that.
All right.
Okay.
I'm a little distracted.
As you can tell, we're off the rails. Already,
I've got the live stream going on for Universal Hollywood and Super Nintendo World, so we'll see if anything happens.
What do you need the live stream for? You were there.
I just want to see what they're going to talk about.
Johnny, how's it going?
What's up? How's it going? Don't forget to leave us a review and tell Josh happy birthday in the review. It is his birthday when we're recording.
Today, day of recording, is Josh's birthday. So who knows how long it'll take for this to go live everywhere. But if you're in YouTube chat or Twitch chat, we hijacked his channel. So if you're in his chat, be sure to message him on Discord or Twitch or TikTok or Twitter or somewhere. Say happy birthday to him.
We're also a day early because
we are because somebody has to go see Ant-Man and the Wasp tomorrow.
Johnny, you're singing it too, though, right?
I'm singing on Friday.
Oh,
I specifically chose Friday because I'm like, you know, we record the podcast on Thursday, so I'm not going on Thursday. That's not true.
It's probably cheaper and quieter now, like because AMC's gonna. When are they starting that now? Charging for the middle of the theater?
I know that it's been talked about, but I'm not sure if they have said when that's actually going to happen.
I feel like that's a bad move.
Oh, yeah. It's really bad.
Welcome to Movie Talk.
But, we've been... I mean, it's a week after a direct. We had a Splatfest this weekend, which was different, I guess.
Good news.
Cheesy still news. Is not one.
Is that the good news?
0-5. And Johnny wants to say that he wins everyone.
How is that even possible? How do you go 0-5?
Well, it's harder now because it's teams. A 1-3 chance.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'm four and one.
But what you do is you see what team is winning at half.
If you know me, you know I enjoy white chocolate more than the other chocolates. And I was surprised. Honestly, I was surprised that people chose white chocolate. Like, I'm surprised that won the popularity vote as well.
What I was reading after the fact, and I didn't even take it into consideration, was people picked white chocolate potentially for the ink color. Like, just to have a different white ink color.
Yeah.
You guys are... Sick minds. I guess the dark or the milk chocolate and dark chocolate kind of looked like Hershey squirts, if you get that reference. So I get it. I mean, maybe, but I didn't think people liked white chocolate, but I only like white chocolate Reese's.
Yeah, I only like it in Hershey's cookies and cream bars. Like that's the only white chocolate.
Oh yeah, those are good actually. I know what you're talking about. Those are good. I don't know. I was just very frustrated with that Splatfest because I did not see, I mean, I don't know how many hours I put into it, but I didn't see a single
ruler plus 11 or something?
11 or 14, I forget what it was, but yeah, something like that. And I didn't see 100 times battle that whole time. Has that,
do you get exponentially more snails if you're ruler plus whatever?
I think so.
I mean, how many did you get? I got to champion and I got 13.
Okay, I got like
on a losing team
20 something.
I got nothing. So, I mean, I got whatever the max is because I got to the ruler of white chocolate. definitely more than 9. So the way I approach Splatfest is I choose the team that I like, right?
Right.
And then I play in, for long enough until I get annoyed, which is usually 3 or 4 matches. I make sure I win at least one of those matches, and then I call it a day.
Mm-hmm. You playing pro or open?
I'm playing pro.
Okay. Yeah, I've had a better experience the last couple times playing on pro just because I'm solo queuing. And
yep. It still makes no sense why it's titled that way, where you are either playing pro, which means you're a single player and going to find other randos, or if you're in open, you usually are with a team because you can't do friends with pro that's only in open. So it makes no sense. And I don't think a lot of people know that. And honestly,
I have to Google it every time.
It says it on there. Does you just got to read.
No, it says.
Yeah, it says solo. Pro, I think like, it says a solo queue.
Or like open play with friends. Like
it says the exact same thing. Unless unless you switch it over to friends, then pro is like grayed out. You can't even select it.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Splatfest too. Like I miss having a unique Splatfest map.
Yep.
Like I feel like that's what made it a little more tolerable for like the grind of the weekend, because it was something different that you know was only there for that time. And like they had some really cool and unique ones going back to Splatoon 2, like the one with the dome that would come down and close, or I mean, just it had the neon kind of vibe going pretty much on all of them. But like here you're just playing on two maps. The gimmick is tricolor, which you have to opt into, which I don't know how many people, I don't enjoy it. So I don't really go seek that out. And it's only available for half the time of the Splatfest. So, I mean, are we hoping that they change up? I don't know. What's your perspective on this, Cheesy, with your history with it? And do you think it needs a kind of a change?
Yeah, I think tricolor has been a lot of fun, and I do think that they have fixed it from what it was when it first came out. However, there still needs to be fixes, because if you're on the attacking team going after the ultra signal, you can still attack your other like teammates that are on the other like team, but you're playing as one collective team, and that makes no sense to me. Like Nintendo should have a way of saying like, okay, you can't kill this person because you guys are technically on the same team. But even like Booyah or Ouch or whatever, the other team can't see that. So the defending team, there's a defending team of 4. And then when you're on the attacking team, it's you and one other person on like team Milk Chocolate. And then there's like another 2 of like Dark Chocolate, but you can still kill each other, and that sucks. Like there's so much miscommunication that is happening there, but you're technically on the same team. Shifty stations, those were in Splatoon 2, and I really enjoy those. Like they were really creative, and like you said, it kind of gave you another reason to tune into Splatfest, because you didn't know what the map was going to be like that week, and it just added, honestly, it was more chaotic than what tricolor is. And I know like Splatoon 3 is going off a theme of chaos, and I miss shifty stations. I wish they would go back to that.
There's a lot of them, right? There's like 20, 24 because I think it doubled the amount of,
and they're all just a bit now in Splatoon 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. But who's playing Splatoon 2 right now? That's the that's the question.
True.
So on the topic of Splatoon 3,
yeah,
we saw the DLC, right?
Yep.
You all know my thoughts about Wave 1, at least. But we did not see a trailer for the next season, which will start in a couple
weeks. End of the month, here. Beginning of the month, right?
Yep.
So how do they show? Do they just tweet that? Because I feel like they tweeted the first one.
I think that's what they did last time.
Yeah, I thought we were going to see
this,
it
in this pass. So that's I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I thought we were going to see it in a direct. Yeah.
Yeah. We had the chill season, so we're going in the spring. Is it going to be like warm season?
I don't know where people.
That's a good one.
Where people are seeing that, but that's actually what they're saying is drop the fresh trailer.
So oh really?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it's in the app or it was like data mined or what. But
one person said it, and then everybody just dogpiled.
I just pulled that out of nowhere. So
I want to see if it says anything.
I mean, yeah, I think of spring. I think of what, like Irish clean or the Irish spring or, commercials.
You know, March has St. Patty's Day. Maybe they'll do some theme around that. I don't know what else it would go into. It would go into April and maybe May. So yeah, it would be like a spring season. You get some cherry blossoms or something.
I do think that desert map that we saw in the Splatoon 2 direct or Splatoon 3 direct, where they said new maps will be coming soon, and it was like a desert kind of theme. I think that one actually is going to be part of this new season, because in the background of one of the photos for the Wave 1, you can see that map in like the Deca Tower area, like the lobby area. So I think that one's going to show up next.
So is that like from the original trailer, like with the Eiffel Tower upside down or whatever, and like that aesthetic or not?
Well, that was like for a single, that was like a single player tease.
It was kind of single player, but like, is that, I mean, that could possibly tie in, right? And because that was in the desert.
Yeah, I want to see the Eiffel Tower upside down and buried in sand, or like Planet of the Apes style Statue of Liberty coming out of that. Like, give me more dystopian maps.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be cool. I'm excited for Splatoon. You guys already know that. That's dropping on the 28th, will be Wave 1. So we'll see if it's
really
just
that's the
Wave 1 slash new area just to walk around in. That's it.
So, all right. So we get this Wave 1 Inkopolis reskin or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Do you think we get something with Splatoon 2? Because there's Pearl and Marina are not in Splatoon 3, but Callie Marie are going to be like the idols in Inkopolis. So do you think they bring back Pearl and Marina too? Because
they're going to be in the DLC of like Wave 2, the side order.
Oh, okay.
And if you watch that trailer, it shows that it's Inkopolis Square, which was the lobby that we played in Splatoon 2. And so some theories right now, it's because the area is all like bleached. Some theories are that you're bringing color back into that world, and then maybe we'll also have that hub area if we want to go, you know, hang out in Inkopolis Square. So we'll have like different three different places that we can just like hang out. But we'll see. We'll see what that is.
I mean, I'm at this point, like they aren't doing a good job selling. Cause when does Wave 2 come out? Have they even said
spring? It just said later date.
Yeah. I'm assuming that means this year. Because I don't think that they would announce a DLC and be like sometime in the future, and that's like 2 years out.
I mean, so I feel like it's I feel like it's a weird sell, because like I'm not like two out of the three of us, I don't think, are jazzed on buying it. Like I'm almost willing to hold out and see if they pull a like kind of like what they did with Octo expansion later on down the road and just make it free as part of the expansion pass, which I feel like they probably should have done from the get-go, maybe to have people a little more excited about it.
Yeah.
I don't think so. A game like Splatoon 3, which is selling astronomically well, they're going to try to capitalize on that 10 million player base in what's 4 months. You know, that's $25. You know, get a third of those people buying it. Yeah. It's a lot of money.
I hear you, but why didn't they do that with Animal Crossing then?
Because that Animal Crossing has been out for
out for a long time at that point,
or like a year and a half or something.
Yeah.
And they needed. I
feel like they felt like they probably were trying to redeem themselves for content light. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But well, Mario Kart is also super popular, and they probably could have made more money just charging $25 as opposed to
Mario Kart was a strategic to increase subscription base. That's what that was for. Because Mario Kart's, what, 58 million units or something like that?
Nah, 56? 51 or something.
Okay.
It's like,
so, I mean, that's a conversion tactic. Because, I mean, they made their money on Mario Kart. They, like, because it was also just a relaunch of a game that came out on Wii U. So, I mean, that was a reason to... the cost benefit was get people to sign up. Hopefully they forget to reap the benefit of it. Because I think if you can't, then that membership goes away. So you don't have as courses still. So it's a long play to keep people subscribed for 2 years or whatever it is. And hopefully they're going to the Netflix model where you forget that you have it. And then you just stay subscribed. And they had to be on the higher tier.
Well, to do it. They also don't do monthly. You have to buy a year.
Yep.
So you can't really, like, if you cancel it now, like, you still have.
Like, you have it until November or whatever when you're
yeah.
But yeah,
I'm excited.
But what did you say?
I was just saying I'm excited for that DLC to drop, like to see more of Mario Kart, because we only saw the one track. So.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's a brand new course. Yeah. Brand new course, which is cool.
Yeah, so stay tuned to Twitter, because that's where it's going to be.
Since Josh isn't here, we let Cheesy have a Splatoon section. So next up, Metroid Prime. Wait, or what do you want to talk about? Metroid Prime?
Yeah, we can talk about Metroid. I've been playing Metroid Prime. I hate that map.
This is the first time you've played it, right?
Yeah, I'd never played it before. I'd played like the demo like at Target way back in the day when they had GameCubes, and that was when the TV was a CRT mounted, like you craned your neck to stare up at it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'd played a little bit, but just the controls are so smooth now. Like I don't know if I could go and try to play. I almost probably need to, and just. I have a GameCube controller connected to my Switch, so I probably should just try to play it the old style.
You have to hold the trigger.
Yeah, because it was stop and shoot. And that's going to be one of the biggest things I'm excited for with Resident Evil 4 reboot is the remake controls. Is that it's going to be modern-ish controls, hopefully, and no more the stop and aim. But it's so smooth and it's nice, and I've been having fun exploring, and it's definitely a Metroid game. I mean, you got to go find your upgrades, and there's areas that are locked off. Like I can't do the magnetic track yet. I'm trying to find that kind of stuff, but I knew where I needed to go, because like if you wander around long enough, the game tries to tell you there's activity in this area, and then it shows you your map. That map is horrific.
You just zoom out. If you zoom out,
different sections. It's like I want to know how, like I had to go pull up another map to be like, I know how to get to this area. Which of the four elevators gets me to the one area that I want to go to? And then which path do I need to take to get to the other elevator to get back up to, because I was trying to get to the snow area.
Well, they're trying to like emulate the map that is in 2D Metroids, right? And it works much better in 2D when you see like, oh, I haven't been there yet. There's a door that I can't use. But in 3D, like you have to finagle it around and it's just a little
zoom out. Well, and that was a complaint I think some people had with Jedi Fallen Order as well, because it had that 3D map that you could spin, or it was very Metroid-esque with that game, and so it was kind of hard. Miyamoto's at Universal right now on stage talking with Luigi, Mario, and Peach on stage. But yeah, Pratt's, I mean, there too? Who?
Chris Pratt.
Unless, hey, you know what? That would be pretty cool if he was in.
He might be. I saw Brie Larson on the red carpet. They were like interviewing her. So
that's interesting.
I'm sure there's a lot of people there.
Well, she wants to be Samus, so like let her be Samus.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. But yeah, I mean, Metroid's been great. I'm excited to keep playing. And
so, all right. So you have never played. So did you play any of the Metroid Primes?
No.
Two or three. So did you know about the scanning before going into it? How much scanning
you're just walking around in scan vision, like checking out stuff? Yeah. No, probably no. But I mean, I feel like it's probably a whole lot easier now with the dual stick and being able to move while you scan. Cause did you have to stop and scan last time?
I'm sure. Yeah. I don't remember, but I would assume so.
I mean, the hardest thing is trying to scan an enemy because they disappear after you kill them.
Yeah. The bosses, don't ever forget to scan a boss because you can't find them again. The thing with the enemies, which is cool, is if you scan a certain type of enemy and you kill it and before you can finish scanning, you can just find the same enemy and it saves that scan. It's just I wish you don't have to scan everything. Like I wish I could get my brain to not want to
it
scan
unlocks stuff
everything.
Though especially in the remaster, like there's extra
there's
stuff
a lot of
that you did
and stuff. yeah
but I mean,
this game looks great too, like it's beautiful.
I just got to thermal vision is where I'm at pretty much in the game, so I think my file save says like 25-30%, something like that.
Yeah, I'm not too far. I played a little bit over the weekend, and then this week's been kind of hectic, so I haven't played too much. But it's brings back like great memories. Like this game's just it's one from the era that was just a blast for Nintendo.
It's also just Metroid, and people don't give Metroid enough credit, and it's so disappointing.
This game.
Yeah.
If you have the means, buy this game.
I'm wondering. I mean, I'll pick up the physical just when it comes out here.
It's sold out on Amazon.
And it's getting delayed. I saw a bunch of stuff saying people were getting delayed shipment stuff. I mean, I was going to comment on some stuff on Twitter today and pull out the tinfoil hat. But I mean, Do you think it's Nintendo trying to push people more to buy the digital version? Just
I think so. Is the physical the same price? Like is it 40?
It's 40.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so it's not like they're charging 50 for the physical.
No, because the Switch tax is already baked in.
I mean, they're trying to push people to digital. I think just in general, not just with this game. They are, you know, they brought back game vouchers. And, you know, they're charging $70 for Tears of the Kingdom. But if you have a game voucher, you could essentially pay $50. So
you can get another game for $30 pretty much.
Exactly. Exactly. So they're definitely trying to get people to buy digital. Their margins are probably much higher. I would assume much higher digitally. They don't have to worry about all the production costs, all the retail
carts
costs.
Are expensive. That's part of the reason why Switch games have a Switch tax on when you compare it to something coming out on the other consoles.
So is their next console, like, let's just speculate, is their next console going to be just digital, or will it have backwards compatibility but only for older Switch games? So
they gotta go, they gotta go the DS Lite route and have like, and have a slot for both.
So no, so they wouldn't be going digital then.
So I think what they could do, what they might do, is they kind of did this with the Wii U. They had two models. They had the, mm-hmm. you know, the 16. I don't remember what the sizes were. It was like, oh, it was 8 and 16 gig.
I think mine's 32.
Maybe it is 32. But they could do what the Xbox Series S is doing. Like, Xbox Series S is digital only. Mm-hmm. But they have the Series X that has the disc drive, so they could do that. PlayStation did it too. They did a digital version and a physical version. So,
do they sell that digital version in brick and mortars? Like, I feel like you don't see that often.
They do, because you could buy, like, when I got a physical one at GameStop, I think they had digital as well.
Yeah, because I mean, it's not really, I feel like it's not really in brick and mortar's best interest to sell you a digital only console, because they don't get as much of a
right
as a return. And I mean, a lot of them sell, like, you go to Target, you see a wall of digital redeem codes or whatever that you can buy. But otherwise, it's like they don't get as much of a boost.
I don't understand their other benefit sales. Of buying a digital card.
It's for grandma to go give it to Johnny on his birthday.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just trying to think what kind of storage a digital only Nintendo console would have. They mm-hmm. would probably only make it like 32. Because Steam Deck is digital only, isn't it? Yeah. And they have
an SSD built in that you can get in different sizes, and then with expandable SD card slots. Yeah. And SD cards are getting more and more affordable, like, because a terabyte now, you can get, I think, a terabyte for around 100. I mean,
yeah,
I don't think it's more than 100 anymore. But yeah, I mean, I want to see. I think it would be foolish of them to turn their back on 121 million install base, something like that. So yeah, it doesn't make financial sense to kind of slap all those people and say.
I mean, they've done it before.
They have, but if you look at it, they do it kind of in incremental steps, like. Even more recently, like the Wii U to Switch, they had to pull that Band-Aid off. It was a failed system with only 13 million units sold, and they were moving from disc media to back to cart. And but if you go back even further, GameCube to Wii had backwards compatibility. Mm-hmm. Advance to DS had backwards compatibility for a while. DS to 3DS worked the same with the same slot. And then Wii to Wii U, there was a little bit of a customer slap in the face with that, where you had to pay, a dollar, I think, to move your Wii. And then once you moved,
That was just the digital games.
Yeah, but once you moved it, And then, so like, my Wii is plugged in down here. All it is a GameCube now, because my Wii lives on my Wii U. Because you can't put it back, and it's not like it cloned it or anything. It's on. You moved it. So, I don't know. I would want the library.
We would all buy it, right? We would all buy it.
Yeah, but I want the library that I've built, because this is the most extensive, probably physical library of any of the consoles that I've had. That I've built, I would want to be able to have that last more than 6-7 years that I've had the console.
Yeah, and I think with the install base of 120 million, the sheer amount of copies of games that they sold. Mm-hmm. I don't think they can abandon that.
Yeah, I mean, if they do like a Switch 2, right, they'll probably have Switch 2 exclusive games. But then after that, whatever the next console is, getting away from the Switch name, maybe that's when they're like, okay, we're just doing digital games.
That's when we get the GameCube and the 3DS games coming to Switch Online. only on that console.
Yeah.
Expansion pack plus.
The new Switch.
New Super Switch 2 with Knuckles. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They're buying Sega.
They pretty much own Sega anyway. Come on. One other thing we got this weekend was, let me pull it up here. We're not going to play the music. The music is the best part. So if you haven't played it or seen it yet, be sure to check out the new trailer for the Mario movie. It is pretty much a homage to the Mario Super Show and the Mario rap a little bit. And it's pretty much just a Mario Brothers plumbing commercial. So it has a phone number. I think it works. I haven't looked at videos of people calling it, but I think Cheesy was saying that Luigi answers the phone or something, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. So you call the number, Luigi will answer the phone and say, thank you. You know, we're really busy right now, but you can text our number. And if you text them, then it will send you like a link to their website. And if you go to their website, there's a bunch of cool Easter eggs on there. And the marketing for this, I mean, with the posters, the video, just the fact that they brought in the rap, is they're nailing it, you know. And I'm sure it's a lot of Nintendo that is behind the marketing as well, or maybe it's Universal and Nintendo is just trusting them and they've had a good relationship. But I mean, honestly, I haven't seen anything of this movie that I don't like. Like, even Chris Pratt is, it's just Chris Pratt, but as like Mario, let's be honest, Mario doesn't have like the biggest personality in the games, but like Luigi, he has personality. Even if he doesn't talk, he's like the chicken, he's the gambler, he's the ghost hunter, and Mario is just always doing kind of the same thing. So like, even if we have Chris Pratt just playing like the straight person role, I'm okay with it.
This has me feel like this might be part of the movie. Like, they are Mario Brothers plumbing in,
oh yeah,
New York, Brooklyn, Queens, like,
mm-hmm.
and he gets sucked into the Mushroom Kingdom. I mean, something's gonna happen. I mean, I feel like this is just building story elements and the world building.
So there's reviews for their, yeah, their company, and one of them is from Spike, and
he was their old boss.
Already, right? That already kind of sets up the story. I think we're going to see him working with Spike. Mario gets upset. Maybe Luigi is also working for Spike and they go and do their own thing. And so I think this is still very early in the movie. But you see that maybe he is enjoying more of his life than what he was doing before.
I like how their mom left a review, a 5-star yeah, review as well.
Mrs. Mario.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could have done more for the lore to have that be Mario mom, because it's not. I mean, because technically Mario's Mario and Luigi's right, Luigi Mario. So, right. I mean, I don't know. But yeah, there's three reviews. Spike doesn't like them. Their mom likes them. And then a couple in Brooklyn says they left their house a mess.
I do want to acknowledge the chat right now. We do read chat, but when there's an actual question and not just asking if it's a live replay.
But yeah, if you hit the call number, like it's a GameCube sound.
Oh, I don't want to make a call. I don't want to make a call for my computer. No.
No. You is that what it said?
Yeah. I think it tried to do like a Google phone call.
Oh, because if you just hit that,
It'll play like a sound. I played it on my phone. Yeah,
I'm really excited, you guys, and it's really not that far away, April 7th, and I'm excited to see what is next. I mean, it does kind of seem like they're setting up the Donkey Kong movie, and like all the Kongs that are in the movie. The latest poster that they showed of Donkey Kong, you get to see more of like his area. And I think that's probably the next thing that we'll see.
The character posters have been awesome. Like,
yeah,
Donkey Kong, there's a new Bowser one.
The Bowser one is so cool.
There's a new Peach one where she's on Rainbow Road. Mm-hmm. Like,
in her with her motorcycle. Yeah,
I have high hopes for it. I hope, you know, I think the marketing has been on point. A lot of people are excited for it. I just hope it, you know, lands and doesn't disappoint.
Do you think it will, though? Even just being a Mario fan, like a Nintendo fan, do you think that you will be disappointed by it?
I don't think so.
Is there a chance that could happen for you?
I mean, there is a chance for sure. There's always a chance.
Sure, like, but what you've seen already.
Personally, I did not like the Sonic movie as much as a lot of people did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because they strayed pretty far away from the games. Like, they didn't really. Mm-hmm. You know, he was in the real world and he was interacting with human people. Mm-hmm. So I think that threw me off, but this looks like they're, you know, playing a lot of homages to the games, and I don't think I'll be disappointed in this one. I think it's just gonna be a fun hour and a half or whatever the runtime is.
Yeah,
so I think do we have on this poster with Peach,
that's Diddy.
Are those all Kongs back there? Diddy and I don't know who that is.
That's the Mario Kart DLC right there. Those are the characters we're adding.
That would be, I think that would probably be the best reveal. Like that would make me happy with the fact that we didn't see more than just that one course in the direct. Like if they came out with movie based tracks or whatever in conjunction with that would mean we have to wait all the way until April. How many more waves are we supposed to get?
I think we'll actually wait
done this year.
I think it will be longer just because of spoilers, you know, like maybe that could be considered a spoiler. It would be good for advertising to get people to go see the movie, but I don't think Nintendo would put out like a course from the movie in this next wave.
I think they will. And
really?
The reason is because they said spring for the release date. And we are in February. You would think that they would already have a date. And if they said April 7th, everybody would know that it's a movie tie-in somehow.
So like, we could get a new Bowser's Castle track. We could get a new Rainbow Road. We could get a Mushroom Kingdom course going up and over that hill in that fashion. Like
maybe the next week after the Mario movie, you don't want to release your DLC the same night as the Mario movie.
It doesn't matter. Like people will go to the movie and play the game after.
I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but I just don't think that would be a good idea, especially when you think of like content creation that is so much. Like, there's either people are going to be missing the Mario movie or they're going to be missing the Mario DLC.
But they don't need that. They don't need people advertising their stuff.
I would be okay with some more classic courses coming out. We have 7 tracks that we haven't seen yet for this next wave. We're getting Birdo. Maybe, and this is what wave is this wave 4 coming up?
Yeah, it's wave 4.
So wave 5.
Three waves.
They've introduced that they're not afraid to bring back characters. So mm-hmm. Funky and Diddy come in wave 5. We get the Universal Cup that is showcased at Super Mario World. Or yeah. And so that would be 4 tracks centered around either the movie or the theme park or just whatever. They can kind of tie it in that way. That can be 4 brand new courses, and then a classic. Is there anything class? Because Funky Kong was in
Wii.
Yeah.
So we get a. There was a DK downhill in Wii, wasn't there?
Wasn't there the dinosaur one? Isn't there a dinosaur track that we haven't got yet?
That was in GameCube.
So I mean, I feel like they introduce more characters, and so we get our classic Funky and Diddy come to Mario Kart,
mm-hmm.
and we get. The universe that would be like the summer release after the movie's been out, after the theme park has been open for a while. It's been known about the Universal Cup and the ride and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
I think that would be a really cool tie-in. And then Super Mario the movie, the game, comes out later on that summer. And I want it called that. I really want Super Mario movie the game, like Street Fighter.
Boost Cup asks, do you think Nintendo and Illumination are giving away too many clips for the movie because I like surprises? What do you guys think?
I think they are showing a little too much.
I think they're showing the right amount.
They've shown a bunch of power-ups already. Like, I would have loved if they kept the Tanuki suit secret or the cat suit secret.
Yeah.
Like those are fun little things that... I mean, I'm sure there will be surprises, but I mean, keep some things close to your chest. Like, people aren't going to go see the movie because of the Tanuki suit or because of the cat suit. Those would just be fun little Easter eggs for fans of the series to get.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like, okay. I think they are showing probably a little too much, like, they still have to show that this is a Mario movie and get those Mario fans like, hey, you know this? You know the Tanuki suit. It's in the Mario movie. And like, yeah, I would agree. Maybe it would be cool to see that in the movie itself. But like, we really don't know anything about the story. We really haven't heard any dialogue. So I think like we are going just
taking
to
over
surprises.
The kingdom to get superstars. That's all. That's the story.
I was going to talk to like traditional movie making. They have a bunch of stuff that ends up on the cutting room floor. True. And they can mix that in and paint a picture that you think you know what you're going to see. And it turns out to be completely different. I feel like it's a little bit different when it comes to the amount of effort and manpower that it would take for an animated feature to have polished stuff. Either just for, they would make just promotional stuff. I get that. Like, we have the posters and all that kind of stuff, but full motion, voice acted, computer rendered 1080, 4K, whatever footage.
Yeah.
It's rare to have just cutting room floor stuff because it would be wireframed or just storyboarded or, because like you see outtakes of Robin Williams from Aladdin. It's all just storyboard stuff with Robin Williams speaking. Like they animated Genie to Robin Williams, not the other way around. Like he wasn't filling in voice for Genie. He was Genie, and then the animators went around him. So like stuff that's not there wasn't animated. So I don't know, but like, I feel like they are probably doing a lot of misdirection where, and studios do that all the time, where it's like, they don't want to put stuff in order or in context, or you see one shot and then it cuts hard to something completely different, but they can do it in creative ways to make it seem like it's somewhat tied in. Like, cause maybe Mario landing where he lands in that first trailer and then Toad coming along, that could be different. That could be completely different scenes. We don't know. Like it could just be creative editing. So whatever we're seeing, it's always interesting to go back and look at trailers after the fact.
Mm-hmm. We probably have seen the ending already. We just don't know it.
it's Rainbow Road. That's the ending.
Rainbow Road's the end. Yeah. That's all it is.
I mean,
yeah, so I don't know.
There's the blue paratroopa that is in the poster. So like, we're going to learn more about the spiky shell from Mario Kart. I think there's probably some Mario secrets or levels that we haven't even seen yet that will just blow us away. Like, you know that there's probably
it's an hour and a half long movie. Like, it's not going to have that much stuff in it.
It's building a universe, Johnny. It's building a universe.
Yeah. How long is Wreck-It Ralph? Because I feel like they do a lot like an hour and a half in Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, but I don't remember them showing. Like, I don't know what they showed in the trailers. They might have showed Sonic and
they showed Zangief and Bowser, I think, in Wreck-It Ralph trailer. Yeah.
So they did show things that would have been cool to not know about.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, like, I think Wreck-It Ralph is still a pretty good movie.
The first one.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's going to have those level of Easter eggs that are going to be there. Because like they had what Qbert was in that movie and the Pac-Man, like he's eating the Pac-Man cherry.
Is Qbert in the public domain? Cause Qbert was in Pixels too. Like,
oh yeah,
probably. Well, he's like homeless in Wreck-It Ralph. Like he's out on his own. I mean, I'm excited. I'll see it, you know, release day. I'll see it probably multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. This will be one to go back and see a few times just because I feel like it's going to be full of small little things that you'll notice more the next time around. And who knows how long we're going to have to wait for it to come to video on demand and then Blu-ray.
Probably a couple months.
Yeah,
which like 2 or 3 months.
Which Odyssey course are we seeing?
Odyssey course? You mean the kingdom?
Yeah, what kingdom? Yeah.
New Donk City, because Pauline's gonna be in it.
Yeah, New Donk City would make sense.
Yeah.
I think the frozen desert kingdom is like that's what the demo is at like the Target kiosk or whatever. Like that's a level that a lot of people see. I feel
not only that, but that was the level that we all first saw. Like that was our way that we knew a new Mario game was coming and that it was like in the desert. Like I think Toast Arena would be so cool to see on that screen. And I just think that they probably will have something from Odyssey just because that's their latest Mario game. And I mean, Super Mario Odyssey was a great game. What?
Until the shadow drop the next game on April 7th.
I also hope we see like Yoshi's tree from Super Mario World, like that where you could go and eat the little fruits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's definitely.
Don't say it. I already know where you're going with it.
I mean, yeah, it's spoiled with the McDonald's spoiled.
What was the what toys spoiled what?
I don't want to spoil it.
McDonald's already spoiled it. It's fine.
Oh, there's a Luma, so we're getting galaxy stuff for sure.
Yeah,
and I mean Peach mentions there's a ton of galaxies out there or a ton of universes. I forget what she says.
What's the name of Rosalina's like? What's the hub thing that you're on?
The observatory.
Yeah, observatory.
Yeah. I mean, that would be cool to see to come.
That would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but that could also be there's so many spinoffs that can happen directly out of this movie. A Donkey Kong spinoff, either with Cranky Kong, Diddy Kong, like there could be a whole bunch of stuff that's there. A Mario Kart in and of itself, I think they could come up with something creative just for that.
Yeah, did you see the Pedro Pascal is going to be in it?
Yeah. That was honestly that was a lot of CGI
for SNL. Like, why did they put so much effort into that for SNL?
I feel like,
I want this movie now.
But his episode of SNL was, I think the sketches were top notch just in general. Even the shorts and the sketches, like it was a good episode. But like Rosalina could show up at the end. Like, and that could be a way to take off and go
at the end of the Rainbow Road.
The observatory. You're driving to the observatory. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it could lead to a lot of things. And I think people would be ready for it. Like it and excited.
I love with Luigi so far, everything we have seen kind of hints at a Luigi Mansion movie or the idea of like, this is where we want to go with Luigi. And like, because we really haven't seen anything other than him with the dry bones, and then in that poster, he's tied up by like shy guys. Yeah,
yeah.
And we have to see a Mario 64 reference. Some penguin has to get dropped off the side of a cliff. Yes,
if they do, they better. That's going to be a thing for sure.
That and a race down an ice slide, I think, at some point.
That's good. Yeah. Does Mario beat Bowser by grabbing him by the tail and swinging him?
That could be good.
Yeah, because there's so many ways that you fought, I think they just do the classic.
An axe dropping on the bridge.
Jump over him, get him on an axe over on a bridge.
Yeah,
I think they have to do it that way.
Maybe we're hyping it up too much, and it's not going to be all of what we said, but like I still think there's a lot that we haven't seen, and there are going to be a ton of surprises. Fred Armisen, he's playing Cranky Kong, and we haven't even heard him yet.
Mm-hmm.
And who's voicing the Blue Paratroopa? Because I have a guess. I don't think it's true.
I don't know.
Has IMDb been updated at all?
So all right,
I don't know if they would spoil that, but.
Sometimes they do.
Yeah. I am interested to see how they explain this blue shell because, are they in the shell when it explodes? Like when it explodes, does it? You know how does this whole mechanic work?
Yeah, it has to get a new shell every time.
Yeah, or like, do they throw it? How does this work? That I am interested in seeing that. But I have a feeling it's just going to be some like 2 second Easter egg, and you're going to be like, that's the blue shell, even though it's on a poster.
Yeah, I don't think so. Just because it's on the poster and that they're like bringing focus to that character, I don't think it's just going to be a quick thing.
Posters lie all the time.
With what?
I mean, they made the poster look like a Marvel movie, so we're getting like the Nintendo Cinematic Universe coming or something.
I mean, unfortunately, that's how all posters look these days. The Scream 6, I don't know if you guys have seen the Scream 6 poster, but that one looks like it came out of the 90s. It looks really good.
That movie is going to make more than all of the other Scream movies combined.
Probably, yeah.
Joe's talking about the posters. We already kind of
the posters look awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder. So great. Maybe I don't know. I don't know if movies do this. They do like a giveaway of the posters because like back like when Pokemon like 2000 and the original Pokemon movies, you got cards when you went to the movies. I would love to get one of those posters.
I could see AMC
Befriend somebody at AMC and because they still get those physical posters that they put up, and those are the the high quality ones that are dual print, like they're printed, they're mirrored on the back so that when they're backlit, they pop. Those are the really nice ones. So go befriend somebody at AMC and maybe you can, but I'm sure that's going to be a hot commodity.
Yeah.
I think what's also really cool right now with Nintendo is I feel the same energy that I felt during 2017, where it was like a new console. They're also having a theme park. There's talks of the Mario movie. There's mobile games that they're introducing. And like some of those things have worked, some of them haven't. But like the confidence that they have right now is just so cool to watch. And like, this is their year. We have, you know, Tears of the Kingdom coming out, and same with Breath of the Wild back in 2017. Like there was just in a new IP with ARMS. Like it's so
cool. Shadow dropped Metroid Prime. Like Metroid is not, does not sell well. It does not sell well. And they were just like, we're just going to shadow drop this.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what the sales numbers are. Like we put this in the title and we kind of brushed through it a little bit, but what are your thoughts on Prime 2 and Prime 3 and the future of what that could bring? I mean, they've the base is there because they did the Prime trilogy re-release on Wii.
Mm-hmm.
But they took that asset and they completely retooled it to do modern controls, but still have pointer controls, still have GameCube controls, and the lighting and the graphics and just the feel of the game is smooth.
I think they're dropping 2 and 3 before 4 comes out. It seems odd to, I mean, I understand dropping the first one because it's the first one,
mm-hmm.
but people still won't know what the heck is going on if mm-hmm. they, unless Metroid Prime 4 is like a reboot of some sort instead of a sequel to 3.
Because 3 was weird. Have they ever done that? Has anything? Well, I think they've all been continuations.
Like God of War, like God of War was a complete reboot of the series.
I mean, I think a lot of the conversation of stuff I saw online last week was this was probably a get up to speed kind of project for people at Retro as kind of homework for what they're working on with Metroid Prime 4. Like a lot of people at Retro probably weren't there. What was this, 20 years ago now? So, I mean, familiarize yourself with the original kind of inspiration for it. Here's something that's already written, already designed. You just need to update stuff. So work on assets. They can probably take stuff that they've built. I mean, Metroid still look the same. I mean, they can move those, and so like reskinning a lot of those assets. And it can just be a proof of concept, but also homework and familiarity with the IP for anyone that's at Retro. So I mean, I could see 2 and 3 coming with that as well, a different team or the same team or whatever.
I want to believe that 2 and 3 is on their way, but I don't know. Like even when we first heard that Metroid Prime 1 was going to be released, where that Metroid Prime trilogy was going to be a thing, we all got really excited. And then there was the rumor that it was just one and was like, why are they just doing that? And could be money. Like they're going to sell 2 and 3 at the same price. But like looking at, I think Galaxy 2 is kind of a good example. Like
where is that?
why didn't they have that?
That's I just want a free update to 3D All-Stars. I want an update to it.
Yeah. They would never do that. There's no way they would do that. They can't do that. They can't sell that game anymore.
But also, Pikmin is another example. And I don't... Does Pikmin sell better than Metroid? I don't actually know.
Pikmin 3 was the best-selling... Or Pikmin 3 Deluxe was the best-selling in the series, and I think it sold like 3 million copies.
And Dread was the best-selling... game and Metroid.
I think coming
to Switch sells games. I mean, that's just what it does. It's a high install base.
So I don't know. But, I mean, I would love to see 2 and 3, but like, I think what we have seen, it's probably just one, but that doesn't make sense.
You know what would guarantee? Well, maybe not guarantee, if people actually bought Metroid Prime.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Will we see sales numbers for that?
Yeah. I mean, we'll see it.
We'll see MPD physical, but like,
we'll see fiscal year end numbers. So they'll show.
True.
They'll show it in or
it'll be a while.
Those come out April.
So, yeah.
Bye, Metroid. That's the
bye Metroid. Well, I think that we're at an hour. I mean, I think we found enough to talk about after a Nintendo Direct week. We have Pokemon Day coming up here in about a week and a half.
27th,
So next week, I think we're going to talk about that a little bit. Josh should be back, and he can. That'll be good because he can also report on more Pokemon stuff because he's in Vegas this weekend for the Pokemon Go stuff that they're doing there. So we can have some predictions for what new Pokemon's going to come to Unite and what DLC might look like for the most broken game they've ever shipped, right?
maybe a performance patch. It's been
a while now.
3 months.
So yeah. I think, did we talk about, so where, Johnny, where can people find you?
I'm Johnny Bo everywhere. Mostly YouTube and TikTok, but you can find me on Twitter, Instagram. Yeah, that's about it.
Cheesy, how about you?
You can find me on TikTok, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, CheezyC64, CheezyC64.
And you guys can find me on Twitter and TikTok, Nightcrawler724, Nightcrawlers without the E. Josh, you can find everywhere at N64Josh, also N64Josh.com. We have the YouTube specific for the podcast. So, and is it N Powercast or Nintendo Power? N Powercast on YouTube. So be sure to hang out there, leave a comment, leave a review on your podcast catcher of choice. And, be sure to hit up the Discord, N64Josh.com/Discord. And we will catch you guys next time. Later.